It's quite an astonishing message, and the word of God is always astonishing. So I'll just ask you to be awake in your spirit, right? Stay awake a bit, listen to what the Lord's saying to you, and then you can fall asleep after service. Hallelujah. All right. So this is entitled, The Great Things God Has Done For You. All right. The Great Thing. Isn't it awesome? All right. I'm going to read this description in a minute, but before I get there, I just need to read the introductory. So one of the most touching accounts of God's unconditional love and mercy comes from the Gospel of Luke. Now listen to this picture. A man forgotten, abandoned, and left to the mercy of Satan and his demons. A truly lost case. Lived in the country of the Gentiles, in the region on the eastern side of Galilee. Not a place visited by holy people. Yet under heaven, no one is hidden from the eyes of God. Christ goes to great lengths to seek what was lost and to restore, showing us that it is always God's will to grant salvation. And the Greek word is zozo, saved, healed, delivered, and made whole, right? And so if we get to our Bibles, Mark 5:1. We have three sections. We'll have the man speaking. We'll have the enemy speaking. We have Jesus speaking. We have the people complaining. And then we'll have the victory, right? So as we're reading it, try and follow along. And try and just think about the situation. Because this is a picture of life today. It doesn't change because it's in the text. It's still relevant today. So Mark 5:1. And this is from the Gospel of Mark. Then they came to the other side of the sea, okay, this is Jesus, to the country of the Gadarenes. And when he had come out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. He who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one could bind him, not even with chains, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been pulled apart by him. And night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones. It's a horrible, horrible situation. There's someone like this suffering. Verse 6. When he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and he worshipped him. And he cried out with a loud voice and said to him, What have I to do with you, Jesus, the Son of the Most High God? I implore you, by God, that you do not torment me. So we're getting to see the source of this man's problems. For he said to them, this is Jesus Christ, Come out of the man, unclean spirit. Then he asked him, What is your name? And he answered and saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. Also, he begged him earnestly that he would not send him out of the country. Now a large herd of swine was feeding there near the mountains. So all the demons begged him, saying, Send us to the swine that we may enter them. And at once Jesus gave them permission. Then the unclean spirits went out and entered the swine. There were about 2,000, and the herd ran violently down the steep place into the sea and drowned in the sea. Those who fed the swine fled, and they told in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was, what happened. Then they came to Jesus and saw the one who had been demon-possessed and the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And they were all afraid. And those who saw it told what happened to him, that he who had been demon-possessed and about the swine, and they began to plead with Jesus to depart from their region. And when he got into the boat, he who had been demon possessed begged him that he might be with him. However, Jesus did not permit him, but he said, "Go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion on you." And he departed and began to proclaim in Decapolis all that Jesus had done for him, and all marveled. Isn't that awesome? Isn't it a beautiful story? I'll leave that here. Making the unseen seen. Many of us here can resonate with this poor man's story, right? Many of us may have been in similar situations, right? Trapped in certain demonic strongholds, being vulnerable, and in such a terrible state, isolated with zero hope. The usual tactic of Satan to divide, isolate, and slowly torment. But thanks be to God, who showed up when no one else would or could. That's why he's called the Savior. And in his compassion, he set the man totally free. The Word of God tells us this, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow on heaven and on earth and under the earth. And that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And so the account we just read shows us this is true. Without hesitation, right? I want you to see the power of God. The legion of demons obeyed Jesus' voice. The unclean spirits left the man, entered the herd, and about 2,000 swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea, and they were drowned. And you might be asking yourself, why has the Lord done this? Christ, for our benefit, makes the unseen seen. Right? He wants to show you what's behind. He wants to show you what's going on. He could have easily just sent them away. It could have been invisible. Nothing could have happened. But because Christ is always teaching, right? He was teaching. He's training us. He wants you to see what he sees. So we witness the true, horrific, destructive force of demons. Think about it. This man had 2,000 demons in him. He was crying and cutting himself and crying out, and no one could help him. No one probably knew. They thought he was mad. Thought he's mad and whatever, we're not dealing with it. But they don't know. But Jesus Christ comes on the scene and he takes the blanket off, right? And you go, oh, that's what's going on, Lord. Because he is the source of all truth. So you see, the source of the demon in the animals causes destruction, causes hatred, causes self-destruction. And when people have these spirits, that's what it does. It causes self-destruction, it causes isolation. It causes this internal battle where the person is not even in control. Right? God wants us to know what's going on. But also that the very real power of Christ was working through the Holy Spirit in bringing complete deliverance and restoration. If you like, the kingdom of God is at hand. When we started, right, doing the healing 10 years ago, right, in St. Mary's. You know the first thing we did, and we didn't plan it, deliverance. Woman came up, demons are in me, they're speaking. We started praying, the demons started to disperse. You understand the name of Jesus. We don't fear. You don't fear because we have the authority. You're not doing it on your own flesh. When we were praying, we were saying in the name of Jesus. And they know who it is. Because we believe it. The same thing, Hyde Park. We started Hyde Park 10 years ago. We started the Watford outreach. June, July, August, I can't remember, September, October, we were at Hyde Park. Guess what happened at Hyde Park? Same thing. The middle of Hyde Park, we had our free healing sign out, and we were just praying for healing. We prayed for this woman, right, and we prayed for her back, and she started to get healed, and then she started manifesting, and shouting, and screaming, and the demons in her were rattling and rolling, and she had a huge deliverance in the middle of Hyde Park. There were police there, there were people there, but you know what God did? He kept everything hidden. There's only a few of us that knew what was going on. What I want you to know is God is in the healing and deliverance business. You understand the power and the authority when we come on the scene. Holy, sanctified, set apart, people of God from heaven on earth, carrying the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Right, church? Christianity is interactive. We're interacting with God. We're interacting with the spiritual realm. God wants you to know you're part of this family. You're part of this army. Right? And there are many people suffering, just like this poor man in a cave cutting himself. And that was one of the reasons I wanted to go to Watford. I said, Lord, there's young people committing suicide. Right? We had members in the church back then who had a home, care home. It's full of teenagers. Young people, listen to this. It's full of young people. And I go and I pray. I said, what do you actually do? Because, you know, we've got this house and we look after the old people. Sorry, the young people. And then sometimes we have an alarm. We have monitors because they commit suicide. Young people. Beautiful young women. Beautiful young men. They take the medication. The medication would block their mind. They put on weight. They start dribbling. I said, Lord, you know what? I'm not saying everyone is demonized, Lord, but you know, that's not right. Do you understand, church? I thought that is not right, Lord. Because this book I'm reading is either true or it's make-believe. It's either a true book and it's relevant today or it's a make-believe book. It's a fairy tale and it's just something that happened in the past. But I know that's a lie from the pit of hell. That was a whole outreach. When you come into outreach, you're coming because of, Lord, there's a man, he's on drugs. There's a man, he's in addiction. There's young people committing suicide. So it's come from a heart of wanting to help people. You understand, church? And this story demonstrates God is working. The person doesn't know. This man didn't know that God was on his way. He didn't know, did he? He was cutting himself. All hope had gone. His family at home thinking, well, where, my son's gone. I don't know, he's in chains, he's mad, he's cutting himself. There's real impact. And you come into the story, don't read it like it's a story. Read the family, read the pain, read the disappointments. Read the heartache of the parent. Your parents here, you know, if that was your child, you'd be so distraught. Think about it, come into the text, and God wants to show you. He's the answer. Crucifixion, right? I'm getting to the end, right? So sorry. Crucifixion. Christ, listen to this, church. Are you awake, church? We're in the Holy Week. Listen, I beg you. Christ demonstrated the power of the cross perfectly through his life, death, and resurrection, giving us authority to use his name in our lives. The ultimate result of that authority was seen, is seen, in the man who was demon possessed. 2,000 demons at the name of Jesus departed. 2,000 demons departed at the name of Jesus, who is now sitting, and I love this verse, sitting and clothed in his right mind. Think of the imagery. In his right mind. Right? Think that that force had left him and he was left to himself. Very powerful. The Lord wants us to live from the effects of the cross. I'm reading it really slowly. Right? The effects of the cross, rather than merely sitting at the feet. Right? Most people remember Christ. He died on the cross, and they whine and they moan, and they think, you know, Jesus, so, you know, he died perpetually dead on the cross. Perpetually dead. You know, in the Catholic Church, he was perpetually dead on the cross. He was perpetually nailed to the cross. He was still stuck there. He was still stuck there. So I believe he had no power. I said, what can Jesus can't do? He's actually still stuck on the cross, poor bugger. and you go to the cross and you bow and you think, oh, poor Jesus. He would be perpetually stuck, nailed to the cross. So I didn't know he had any power, any authority, no dominion. Jesus wants us to live from the effects of the cross, not sit at the feet. Of course, we should remember his suffering for us. But as Isaiah says this, he shall see the labor of his victory and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify the many, because he has borne their iniquities. Christ did a work for us that we may be free, church. All right? The scripture, Christ, he wants us to be free from the enemy, from the past. That's the whole beauty of the cross. He wants us to live from the victory of the cross, rather than reflecting on the suffering all the time. Okay, religious people will reflect on it. Oh, poor Jesus, and poor Jesus, and poor Jesus, and poor Jesus. I'm thinking, yeah, but that is not it. See? Poor man cutting himself. Poor woman committing suicide. Poor young people trying to cut their throats. Poor them. Isn't that better? Let's do something about it. That's why the cross was given to us. That's why we have a mandate to do something. That's why we save what was lost. It's the whole Easter, the whole resurrection. As we sang this morning, the victory belongs to Jesus. And so I'm finishing off now. You know, what can we take from this? You know, think about it for a moment. You've heard some things this morning. What can you take from it? Christ told the man he set free, go home to your friends. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't it beautiful, right? And tell them what great things the Lord has done for you. Make sure you read your Bible every day, and if you don't, I'm not your friend anymore. Oh, where's that come from? Remember, you're always in sin, and you're not my favorite. And condemnation will follow you. Is that Jesus' words, people?
No.
Is that rubbish? Have I just read rubbish there? Can I tell you? Isn't it rubbish? Relationship with the living God. You go to sleep, you pray, you forget, you pray the next morning. You read your Bible, 10 days, 3 days, you forget. Is God picking up a stone to bludgeon you? Is he waiting around the corner with a baseball bat? Are you separated from God? Are you cut off all of a sudden? Are you kind of, oh, God doesn't know because I haven't spoken to him, I read my Bible. Listen, religion will kill you. Dump it, honestly. Just think of the best friend in your world. Like my wife, she's got her best friend, she calls once a year. I mean, that's not a good example. That's my wife's terrible example. She's got her best friend, she calls once a year. You have a better, you're better than that, okay? You speak to your friend occasionally every day, right? Lord, help me today. Lord, I'm struggling with this. I'm not great at this, Lord. Can you please help me? You know, just talk. Talk like a normal person. You don't talk to God through the scriptures. We read the scriptures to get a picture of Christ, don't we? Don't do this. We shouldn't do that. Why? Because we know that the enemy is pulling us into sin. That's all it says. Don't do that, because that pull you out of sin and he'll bang you and condemn you. Don't do that, because that's where he is. I'm not there. I bring the kingdom. You understand? So you read the Bible and you look at what it says and you learn and you get the heart of Christ, and then you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, because we don't live in the first century. All right? We live today. We've got bills to pay. We've got things to manage. We've got health issues. We've got family issues. We've got different issues, but the response and the season is different. The information, the revelation is different. The revelation I have last year is different than what I have this year. Do you understand? It's a word in season. It's not the same old thing. And the scriptures and religious people will keep you nailed to the cross. They will keep you nailed to the cross. They will, yes, you don't pray, you don't fast, you don't know, talk to God. You're an idiot. Bang, bang, condemnation, bang. But listen, there is now. No. It doesn't even say a little, does it? It says no condemnation for those that are in somebody. That somebody is Christ, because he's perfect and you are being made perfect in him. I mean, every day by day, he's making us perfect. I love this verse. Go home and tell your friends. Tell people. You can preach Jesus, right, without being religious. Repent, turn from your sin, go to church, get on your knees. Live life with Christ. Look, think of the disciples when they followed Jesus. They were astonished. Wow, look, he's doing that. Wow, he's doing that. Wow, wow. And they didn't know they were having a relationship with God. And then the Pharisees come along and bang the religion. Oh, why aren't you fasting? What are you doing? God, not healing today, it's Sunday. What are you doing? Why are you healing on a Sunday? You see, church, you must grasp. Everyone here, you must grasp a relationship with the Lord. Always connected, always loved, always cherished. He's always there. And anything else that is taking that from you, kick it out. Get behind me, Satan. You're a liar. Get lost. I've had you all my life. Get lost. Get lost. Try to say the word get lost, some of you. So polite. Get lost. Get lost. It's not for me. It's not my portion. You've got to get this fierceness into you, right? Because the Spirit of God is bold. He's not weak. Listen, you see the Spirit casting out 2,000 demons? Is he, oh, please, can you come out now? Was he saying that? Do you reckon he was saying, out! Get out! That's my son. Get out! Get. We need to have that in us. From the belly, out! Get out! Amen. I promise you. I promise you need to declare, because it's like the King of Kings is here. Isn't it right? The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. That's what it means. Easter Sunday, crucifixion. Go and tell people the good works God has done for you. I'm just going to summarize. Imagine returning from the brink of death. Imagine this man, right? A church, come back now to the parable. Look at the man. He's coming back home. And his parents are just seeing him, or his family. What do you think they're going to think? What if that was your son? What if that's your daughter? Think about it for a moment, right? And your son or daughter comes down the path, and you see them in their right mind. Look at the impact. We forget the impact, don't we? We read over the scriptures, we gloss over it, but think of the impact. Imagine returning from the brink of death to life, being welcomed back by family and friends and loved ones, and sharing the excitement and the transformation Christ had brought. Do you think they had to convince people? Do you think they had to say, oh, you have to pray? You have to. Do you see the difference? Christ has come to bring life and life in abundance. When you start walking in the victory that many of you have, but you're not very good at expressing it, that's why we go into crazy mode, don't we? Shouting and right? It's right, because I know what good things God has done for me. So my fire, my terrible singing from the front, poor worship people, right? Forgive me. I don't care. You know what? Because when you have been set free, church, when you have been set free and you sit down, you come to your right mind, you're thinking, you know, man, I'd be dead today if it wasn't for him. My life would be rubbish today. Do you understand? That's the place of gratitude, of thanksgiving, of praise, of honor, of adoration. I don't care if you like it. I don't care if you don't understand. I don't care. I don't care. You know, because, as I said, who will worship God? Who will give testimony of Jesus if we, the church, don't do it? What did he say? You know, the rocks. Isn't that shameful for us? He has to make a rock to sing. And we have voices. And we have breakthrough. God is just wanting us to remember the excitement. You know, this is the life-changing power of Jesus. You know, he's not like a... He's a hurricane. He'll blow the cobwebs through you and out of you and everything, every part of your life that Satan had his hands on, he will decimate if you let him. Yeah, but see, it's on you. It's down to you to let him. When you meet Jesus, you have a fresh start. And this is what we should all desire. Everyone here, listen. Even for me, I want more zeal. I want more breakthrough, more love of God. Do you know why? Because you want to be growing every year. You want to encounter with Jesus through his word, through his Holy Spirit, so that your lives will and never be the same again. And then we want to have a life that proclaims Jesus, isn't it? When people talk to you, they're going to meet Jesus. So I'm finishing off now, actually. So church, I want us now, just close our eyes, right? Just the words, because the meeting, the title says, "What great things has the Lord done for you?" I want you to close your eyes, and it could be one thing, it doesn't matter, right? Just one thing from that place. Go back to that place, right? Your first love. Take a moment, take a breath. Say, "Lord, help me to remember my first love." Go back to that place. Many of us have come from that man at the tombs, different degrees of torment, being alone. But he is the God who sees. He is the God who remembers. So as you're there, I'm going to just pray over you, and then we will close the service. So Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord God, we read for the scriptures today. We've seen the poor man stuck at the tombs, tormenting and killing himself, wanting to. We see the demons tormenting and laughing and thinking it's a joke. And then we see the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings come. We see the utter shock and terror on the legion, knowing who he is, in shock that he's on the earth before them in the form of Jesus Christ. We thank you that you set the captives free. The man, someone's son, someone's daughter has been set free. Thank you, Jesus, for the example. We thank you today. We have the cross. We have the power and the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ to live our lives according to God's word, where there's no condemnation, there's no past, there's no mistakes. It's just today and choosing every day. And so, Lord, we thank you for the power of the restoration, for the healing, for the breakthrough. We pray as the church now are asking the same words, "What great things has the Lord done for you?" May they turn that victory into a song in their heart. May they turn it into a revelation. May they be fervent in his last days. May they have a heart for the lost, a heart to a desire to see people saved. May they become lovers of the word. May they become lovers of the Lord Jesus Christ, of his presence. May you have the presence of God with you this morning. May you understand the presence of God. May you live by the power of Jesus Christ. Let's pray this, Father, in this season of Easter, that the power and the strength of the cross may be upon them and in them and through them. And may they live the rest of their life declaring the goodness of God in the land of the living. And so we pray that in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So worshippers, when you're ready to rumble, please join us.